So to begin with, we have a short story. This is story of a new neophyte struggling painter, and he is under the disciplehood of his teacher. So he paints a painting according to whatever he has learnt, his caliber, his talent, and he displays it, the whole painting, he displays it out on the street. But because he is a new painter, so he knows that there are many frailties, there are many mistakes which he has committed. But still, he wants to know the opinion of the general masses about his first painting of his life. So he displays the painting in a busy street where people are, there is a lot of hustle bustle and you know, people are moving about. So he displays his painting on that particular street. But along with that display, right above the canvas, he writes something, you know, there is a sign right above the canvas. And the sign is this: "Gentlemen, I am a new painter, might have committed many mistakes. Please put a cross wherever you see a mistake. Please put a cross wherever you see a mistake." So he put up that painting in the morning, and then he comes in the evening to see what is the response. Guess what? Could you guess what would have been the face of the painting now? It was filled with cross everywhere. It was filled with. He couldn't even see his original painting. Only thing was seen was crosses. Black crosses everywhere. He was more dejected now. In fact, he thought that at least he could put up something. He thought that at least he is not such a big flop. But now, after seeing that there were so many crosses, he was like so depressed, disappointed, lost confidence. I don't think I can ever become even, you know, a reasonable painter. He goes back to his master and he reports to the master. And the master says, "Okay, whatever happened, forget about that. You make a replica of the same painting again. Again you make the replica of the same painting and let me know when you finish with that." See, again he makes the replica of the same painting, finishes. Now again the master goes along with the disciple to put up that same painting, now the replica of, in that same street. But now the sign was a little different. Now the master wrote this sign: "Gentlemen, I am a new painter, might have committed many mistakes. I have put a brush and colors. Kindly pick up the brush and correct wherever you feel the need." And they both left. And they came in the evening. And what did they see? The brush and the color was as it is. The painting was as it is. Nobody dared to lift the brush and make a positive correction. So what do we learn? What do we learn from this short story? It's easy to point out the mistakes. It's easy to paint a cross. But it's very, very difficult to actually participate in the success of that painting. So that's more difficult. Which means, initially when they were crossing it, putting all those crosses, their mood was that we want to help this painter. Since this painter has really opened up that we should help him out. So the mood was not that exactly we want to pull him down. The mood was, yes, he should come up. But when this particular sign was read out, then the emotion was something different. So therefore, a wonderful thought to begin with. Failure looks beautiful when you have a loved one to support it. But even success hurts when you don't have a loved one to share with. Yes, you will find hundreds of people who will, you know, console you when you are struggling, when you are a failure, when you can't make it. You'll have so many people. Achha nahi hua. Kya karein? Jeevan ki reeti aisi hai. Bhiyu nakho, mi tujya. I'm there. But then, you know, when a person is really successful, what happens is that person many times doesn't realize that what's happening in the minds of the others. And who are those others? Those others are mainly the near and the dear ones. The others are mainly those whom you know very well. They know you very well. And they appear to be your well-wisher. You know, well-wisher. Well means kuwa. Wishing you in some kind of a well. But not a wishing well. So-called well-wisher then. Another beautiful quote, this gentleman, Oscar Wilde, said, "Anybody can sympathize with the sufferings of a friend, but it requires a refined nature to emphasize his success." And therefore, we say that the Bhagavat concept, the Bhagavat philosophy is revolutionary, wherein it is teaching us, taking us to such a different plane of refined civilized culture. It's taking us, you'll find many parts of religion, they are trying to help the, you know, destitutes. They're trying to help those who are distressed. And yes, they are very much appreciated for that. But the Bhagavat philosophy is taking you on such a highest platform that the envy and the jealousy has to be ruled out in such a positive way when you are celebrating the success of others, which in Kali Yuga is more important than trying to help the, you know, destitute and the distressed. Yes, definitely, that is very much laudable and commendable. But over here, when we are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, especially in a Krishna conscious community, it's very much essential, it's a cardinal principle for us to understand that in what way am I advancing. So for that we have to understand what is real success for the other Vaishnava and for me also. So what we are planning to discuss this evening, first we'll introduce the topic, we haven't yet, then perceptions of success. What are our perceptions of success in Krishna consciousness? So over here we are talking about mainly not being successful, you know, in the corporate world or in our business world or, you know, in that rat race. We are not talking about that. That's already ruled out. We are talking about Krishna consciousness. We who are trying to become conscious of Krishna, what is the perception of success? Negative barriers blocking us from celebrating other success. Very much essential. What are those barriers which block us? Many times they are invisible, huge thick walls, invisible, but they are there. To locate and to break those walls emotions churn in the hearts when others succeed, and finally how to cope up with those emotions which really churn our heart, you know, with such speed that many times, you know, even though we may be in the coldest region, but our hearts are burning inside. We may be sitting in AC, in our AC, whatever, you know, office or AC, bedroom or living room, but the hearts are burning with the fire of envy and jealousy and all that stuff. So, let's begin with the introduction. Some questions are asked. Let's see what answers do we get. Why do women focus on other success? Come on. Sometimes this thing comes in the mind that, forget it, you know. I don't have time to, you know, think so much about others. You're talking about other success. Benchmarking. Can you elaborate on that? What do you mean by that? Benchmarking our success or their success? Other success. So you are answering the first question. Why do women focus on other success to benchmark their success? But then the next question is it a wise thing to do? And the next question is, how will it affect me? So essentially these three questions, if you sum it up, there is this one question that, is it required? Is this seminar required? Okay. Okay, so how do you go about that? Why do we need? Well, you say, that's why we have come for this seminar. You have to say, you have to give the answer. One thing is that in Krishna consciousness, we have to understand that we are practicing the laws of the spiritual world. Just like there are laws of material nature, there are laws of spiritual nature. And the laws of spiritual nature are diametrically opposite to the laws of material nature. So the laws of material nature is, I focus on my success. Even though I might not be successful, but still, I will focus on my success. How much I am successful. I, me, mine, my success. Everything here. You know, like sometimes you see people taking their own photos like this, you know, the cameras. Or giving others, you know. Click my photo. So this is material consciousness. This is laws of material nature. This is what is expected of everyone in this material world. And that's nothing new. It's not surprising. You know, when somebody is bringing peda that I got distinction in this and that. It's, in fact, you ask for that. You know, where is the peda? Koi 10th mein 90% score karta hai and all that. So, he goes and distributes. I remember when we were passing out from the 10th standard and many of my friends, you know, this was a big concern that in case if they, you know, get distinction and more than that, they have to distribute so many pedas because so many buildings, we were living in a colony, so many buildings, and if you don't distribute to one building or, you know, all the houses in that building, then the, you know, people will ask, unko diya, humko nahi diya. So that was one of the concerns. So this is something which is very naturally seen, you know, when you are successful, you announce about that, you know, you print a card, it comes in the newspapers or whatever, so it's very natural. But when we talk about spiritual nature, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, urdhva moolam adha shakham, that it's like a banyan tree upside down. So where the roots are going up, the branches are going down. So therefore, in the spiritual world, if we have to reach, we have to think opposite of the material world. We have to think opposite of the material world, and that will start to qualify us to reach the spiritual nature. And therefore, in our sadhana bhakti, it is not simply the physical accomplishment of the sadhana bhakti. There is a physical accomplishment of sadhana bhakti, which is again on a material platform. And there is a spiritual accomplishment of sadhana bhakti, which is on the platform of the soul. So we have to see whether we are balancing the both. If we are getting carried away by the material accomplishment, it will take us back into the whirlpool of I, me and mine. Earlier, I, me and mine was in the mundane sense, but now I have the I, me and mine mentality with a spiritual packaging. But inside the product is the same. So therefore, this is why it is essential. The answer to all these questions is that yes, I don't want to make it in this material world. I want to make it in the spiritual world. And what are the requirements to make it in the spiritual world? I need to. I have to. Not just forcibly, grudgingly, I have to celebrate the success of my fellow sadhakas, of my fellow Vaishnavas, whom I am dependent upon. I am dependent upon their success, not their failure. Because in their success lies my success. So therefore, this is the beginning of why have we come together to even discuss on a topic like that. Is it clear? Any questions? You can ask any questions, clarifications in between. Now we have some non-shastric examples of what happens when people are on a mundane platform trying to struggle and trying to cope up with other success. Might be very familiar. Now, this example is that it's very obviously seen that these two countries, they are at loggerheads. We don't have to learn this in a seminar. You're all aware of that. Now, there is an observation in these two countries that whenever India is affected by some natural calamity, say earthquake or some floods, some epidemic, it is observed that Pakistan gives many relief measures, releases lots of funds. Like somebody, he sent me one SMS. This is regarding India now, how India deals with that country sometimes. So it's just on the lighter side. Says that if all the Indians, they stop texting, SMS, if they stop messaging for one day, then they can save 60 crore rupees. And that 60 crore rupees can help more than 10 million Pakistanis, those who are, needy Pakistanis, can help 10 million Pakistanis. And then the message, the last line of the message was, so therefore, we request all the Indians to keep messaging. Marne do salon. But again, coming back to this point, that whenever India faces, some calamitous situation, catastrophic situation, then a lot of, funds are released from that country. You know what is the main reason for that? Because they want to publicize the failure of India. By doing that, they want to publicize the failure of India. And whenever India is successful in anything, then that particular thing, in some way or the other, is tried to, they try to pull it down. Forget about celebrate. So it appears that when India is unsuccessful, and vice versa, the same happens with them also, when something happens over there, we also sympathize, empathize. But the mentality is that somehow or the other the world should know that how miserable is this country. Somehow or the other the world should know that they should not come to this country. So it makes more news that if that country is helping out this country, they make more news and they publicize in that way. But the focus is given on discouraging others to come into a country like that. Then we have another pair, these two countries. You know, when there was this the moon expedition, one of the reasons why America launched the moon expedition, because Russians were, you know, outsmarting them in space technology. So that was one of the sole reasons. They had nothing to do with moon. They had nothing to do with showing others that, you know, whatever science and technology has advanced. One of the main reasons is put them down. How can they be more successful than we? So that was one of the reasons. Of course, there could be so many examples, but herein we are taking some prominent ones. So, Coke and Pepsi. Now these two companies, generally, you know, those who are customers, they don't find much of a difference, you know. If Coke is not available, kuch to kala de de. Wo nahi to ye. Not much difference. Just like, you know, for us, Krishna and Balram. So like that, Coke and Pepsi for them. But when it comes to these two companies, they have suffered losses, tremendous losses. Just not because they were not publicizing their product properly, but they spent so much money to pull the other product down. Now there was a commercial about Coke. There was a commercial. It was like a properly made TV commercial, which later on, you know, it became a little controversial and it had to be banned. It came in the category of banned commercial. And the TV commercial was, there is a small boy who wants to take a drink from a vending machine. You know, vending machine is you put some money in the slot and you press the button and the whatever you have selected, that particular product will pop out. So now the small child, he wants to have a drink from this vending machine. But somehow he's small statured, so he can't reach that slot where the money has to be put. So he goes and he brings a can of Pepsi. He stands on that can of Pepsi. Then he reaches the slot, puts the money, and what comes out is Coke. So yes, they are trying to advertise their product, but how? Who is under whose foot? So can you imagine the mentality now? Forget about, we are trying to discuss celebrating other success. Here is, you know, trying to just kill someone else's success. So then later on, of course, they realized that they were incurring so much huge losses, because just trying to pull each other down. So, of course, non-shastric examples can go on and on and on. But even we have shastric examples of these cases. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is example of Prithu Maharaj. In the fourth canto, Prithu Maharaj, he performs Ashwamedha Yajna. And he has reached 99 Ashwamedha Yajnas. And the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, which Prithu Maharaj is about to now perform, and the only one who has performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas up until that point of time is Indra. So Indra, he thinks, how can someone like Prithu Maharaj, you know, go beyond me or achieve that particular feat which I have achieved? So then he disguises as so many, you know, as a sannyasi, steals the horse, just to make sure that, you know, this thing fails. His yajna, 100th yajna fails. Of course, this is a long story, and then the Supreme Lord comes and he tries to mediate between Indra and Prithu Maharaj, because both are, you know, Krishna's devotees. Prithu Maharaj is himself an incarnation of the Lord. But the point is that even at that level, Indra and Prithu Maharaj, there is so much of rivalry in regards to who will score a century as far as the Ashwamedha Yajna is concerned. Yes, of course, how can we not discuss Duryodhan and the Pandavas? The whole Mahabharata, we have seen it, we have heard it so many times. You know, how Duryodhan was so much envious of even the little success of Pandavas. Even little success of Pandavas right from the childhood. When Bhima could do some things which Duryodhan couldn't do, right from that age, Duryodhan wanted to just suppress and kill the success of the Pandavas. And yes, we have Kaikeyi and Lord Ram, about to be coronated as the king. And just a day before, Kaikeyi, in collaboration with Manthara. So, what was their plot? To somehow or the other, throw away Ram from that position and bring Bharat into the position. So, herein, we have shastric examples of how, forget about celebrating the success, we have these examples of how there was so much of rivalry when there was success about to be seen in one of the parties. Now, when we talk about perceptions of success. Okay, so let's look into our devotional activities, our sadhana bhakti. So we are living in a Vaishnav community. We come over here every week, so many times in a week, so many festivals we come together. Every day so many devotees come for performing their sadhana, hearing, chanting. And you know, there is this institutional activities, missionary activities which are taking place. So I have now a list of different kinds of success which a sadhaka can accomplish in a Vaishnava community. But before that, let me ask all of the assembled Vaishnavas that what is your perception of success? It could be your own success or success in some other Vaishnava's sadhana bhakti. How do you perceive that a Vaishnava is becoming successful in sadhana bhakti? How do you perceive his success? Starting 16 rounds. Okay, 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And what else? Start in 16 rounds. And then following the four principles also? Okay, that also comes along. Buy one, get one free. So 16 rounds, four principles. Anything else? Huh? Desire for? Desire for anything which is Krishna conscious. Okay, so he is becoming successful. Yes. Skillful performance of sadhana bhakti. Okay, let's look into, I have something, developing devotional skills, like, you know, delivering powerful lectures, singing excellent kirtans, popularity among devotee community, becoming very popular. Like many people, they start talking about, suna kya? Lecture suna kya? So many times, you know, when say for example, if one Prabhuji gives a very fantastic lecture, then many times, you know, the other families, when they go home and the wife tells to the husband, ek wo hai lecture suna aaj. Aur ek aap kholi kitab kholi kabhi? So like that, you know. So sometimes, you know, some Vaishnavas become very popular. And yes, as he said, you know, devotional skills. There are devotional skills. Now, somebody might be a pathetic singer outside, but when it comes to Hare Krishna, he can sing like 50 melodies like this. You know, snap of a finger, he can sing 50 melodies. And because, you know, in Vaishnava community, we are not so much into like actual classical singing and all that. So even if you can sing some melody which others cannot sing, so you become popular. Kya melody ka? So you can become popular, you know, in your way. Giving lectures, it's not a big deal, because many times you find people are very much afraid of coming up and speaking. So, you know, if you learn a little skill of, you know, speaking for half an hour, and so much philosophy has been registered inside, so, you know, sometimes the flow just goes on, you know, like a machine gun. And then people appreciate. Yeah, people appreciate. So, yes, do you think these are all yardsticks to a success of a Vaishnava in Vaishnava community? Hmm? Yes or no?
Yes.
Who says yes? Who says no? Come on, we have mixed opinions over here. Yes, okay. Yes. No. Why? A person who is giving good lectures, he is singing good kirtans, not successful? No? So, he shouldn't be like that? Yeah. Okay, so the success is the mercy of Krishna, not because of my expertise. So, in that sense, that is a real success. Let's go into some other aspects. How about some further successes of a Vaishnava in the community? More intimate association with Guru, more responsibilities entrusted by Guru, getting initiated. What do you think about that? You know, now I am officially Prabhu. Earlier I was unofficially, you know, like that. Many times, you know, whenever my name was announced, it was always that Bhakta. Bhakta this, Bhakta that. But now, His Grace. HG. And when I write, you know, many people, they are, HG, what is HG? His Grace. Then His Divine Grace. So like Maharaj in one of the lectures was saying that, you know, first we come as Bhakta, then we become Das, then we become Prabhu, and then we are aspiring to become Mahaprabhu. So, getting initiated. Now I am, you know, not just initiated, I am a counselor also. I counsel others. People come with their problems to me. There was a time when I was going with my problems to someone. Now people come to me with their problems. So this is a sign of advancement, is it not? Yes or no?
Yes.
You know, then many times, when somebody has very intimate association with the spiritual master, then you know that thing becomes like, although outside, you know, in the outside world, it is something which people will not so much appreciate. Like I remember this went into my consciousness. I was serving Radhanath Maharaj for some years, and there was one incident which took place. Now, serving a person like that, in our ISKCON language, what do you call it? He was Radhanath Swami's servant, personal servant. And we know what a personal servant of a sannyasi, what does he have to do? He has to clean his clothes, he has to cook for him, he has to do all menial chores. Okay. So that is what is the nature, the job description of a servant of Guru. So I remember this incident took place. Radhanath Maharaj, he had gone for this Birla's program. And it was initially, you know, that he would go just by himself. It was not in a very big way. So that time I was his personal servant. So he went for this Birla's program, he went alone. And Birla's program, you know, begins at 10 o'clock. That's 10 p.m. Begins like that. The program begins and then goes on till 1, 2, like that. That's the time when those people are most awake and most attentive. So then it was around 2 o'clock, then he was to be dropped at the temple. So when he came, the car came, pulled over at the temple, the gates were locked and closed. At that time we didn't have so much security. There was just one security and he was, you know, in some different world, night 2 o'clock, somewhere else. So he couldn't get in. Half an hour, Maharaj tried to get in, he couldn't get in. So that person who had driven Maharaj, he said, "You come to my house tonight, you stay, and morning when the gates open, then you can come, and then you can go." So now in the morning, I get up with all the medicines and everything, you know, ready to give him. I thought that he must be in his room. So I was waiting, but no chapels outside, you know, room is still open. So I go into the room, he's not there. It's morning 6 o'clock, 6:37. I call up Birla house. They say, "Well, he left 2 o'clock. He left 2 o'clock. Where is he?" So that became a big thing. So who drove him? Then I called him up. He said, "Oh, he's at my house." So then he was staying close to our temple, Chopati temple. So I went with all the, you know, morning medicines of Maharaj, you know, wheatgrass juice and aloe vera and all that stuff, all that and some fresh clothes. I went to this person's house. He's a big man, big industrialist, staying in Malabar Hill. And I go in and he just shows me the kitchen. That this is the kitchen, go to the kitchen. So I go to the kitchen and over there the servant of this man is there now. The servant of this industrialist is there in the kitchen. So now, he is very much little amused and surprised to see me now in the kitchen along with him. So you can imagine that what the discussion would begin with. So he is asking me. And he is like typically from, you know, like Bihar, you know, that kind of a typical servant in that family serving for many, many years now. So he is asking me this question. "Aap ka parichay?" So I asked him, "Ki aap ka parichay pehle bataiye." "Main to inka naukar hoon, Ajay saab ka." His name was Ajay. "Main Ajay saab ka naukar hoon." So now I understood that I have to speak in Hindi to him. So now I was thinking, just how, you know, powerful the ego is, that I was so proudly telling that same thing to the devotees earlier, that I am servant of Radhanath Swami. But this person, andar thoda, how can I say? Meri ijjat ka kya ho? So the false ego was like a barrier in between. Because I have to speak in Hindi now, and Hindi, it sounds really, you know, crushing your ego. Knocker. In English, you know, servant and all, it's okay. But in Hindi, nokarum hai. I said, you know, forget it. I have to say that. And main, wo hai na, sanyasi unka nokar. Acha, acha, aap bhi nokar hi hai kya? Then it was more, you know, like he was hitting my false ego more. Acha, aap bhi nokar hai. Main, main bhi nokar. आप कब से इनकी नौकरी कर रहे हैं? आई वॉज थिंकिंग आई विल गिव यू माई पीस लेटर ऑन. देन आई सेड हो गया कुछ 4 साल. अच्छा 4 साल, मैं 15 साल से हूं. सो देन ही स्टार्टेड आस्किंग यू नो ऑल दोस. अभी दो नौकर मिल गए तो क्या डिस्कशन होगा कि क्या क्या करते हैं आप, कपड़े कब धोते, कैसे धोते हैं, क्या बनाते हैं खाने के लिए. बता रहा था कि मैं ऐसे रोज कपड़े धोता हूँ. खाना क्या बनाते? खिचड़ी दाल चावल. अच्छा अच्छा, नहीं मैं तो सब कुछ बनाता हूँ इनके लिए. सब कुछ सीख लिया मैंने. तो सो दैट ऑल दैट डिस्कशन वाज गोइंग ऑन. देन व्हाट हैपेंड, दिस पर्सन मिस्टर अजय, ही केम इन द किचन. देन ही केम एंड ही स्टार्टेड टॉकिंग टू मी इन इंग्लिश. नाउ आई सेड नाउ आई विल शो हिम. So I started speaking in English and he was like, and after, you know, he was listening very attentively, and after this Mr. Ajay left the kitchen, he asked, aap angrezi bolte? Haan, wo kya American hai na, wo sanyasi to sikhna padta hai. The kahan se sikha aapne? So I also thought that, let me, okay, you know, not boast so much. So I said, nahi unke saath reh rahe ki sikh gaya thoda. अच्छा, हमारे हमारे साहब तो हमसे हिंदी में बात करते हैं, हम भी थोड़ा अंग्रेजी सीख लेते हैं अगर वो भी हमसे अंग्रेजी में बात करते. सो देन व्हाट हैपेंड, ओके दिस इंसिडेंट हैपेंड, यू नो, देन ही कंसिडर्ड मी लाइक, यू नो, लाइक अ नॉकर. दैट वाज वेरी गुड फॉर मी, फॉर माय फॉल्स ईगो. देन लेटर ऑन दैट पर्टिकुलर ईयर महाराज ही लेफ्ट फॉर द वेस्ट प्रीचिंग, एंड देन दिस मिस्टर अजय ही कॉल्ड मी just for a house program. And that time I had forgotten everything. He just called me. So he just said that we'll just have a small kirtan, just our family. It was some wedding anniversary. So you just come, we'll have some kirtan and a small talk and dinner. I said, okay. So I came and then, you know, here was our friend who had made the dinner and who was serving out the dinner. Now I was sitting on the table. And he sees me. He said, how dare he sitting on the dining table? You know, he's like me, you know, he should be having dinner in the kitchen somewhere in the corner. So that was what was, you know, in his mind I could see, sense that. And then I was smiling at him, he was smiling at me. Aap aaj idhar kahan hai? Swami ji kahan hai? Nahi, Swami ji gaye. Aaj hum hai Swami ji idhar. So then, you know, this Mr. Ajay, he could sense that, that what is going on, you know, tum dono mein kya khichdi pakri. So, just the point that how in devotee community, there are certain things in which you will be glorified. When you say, I am the servant of the servant of the servant, I am a stool in the worm, sorry, worm in the stool. And all that, when you say, when you are glorified, but try speaking that outside. Huh? What people, what their reaction will be. So over here, many times this is the yardstick of our success. That, you know, more intimate association, more responsibilities entrusted by Guru, getting initiated, becoming a counselor. Now, let's see perceptions of success from Krishna's point of view. Does that sound interesting? Perceptions of success from Krishna's point of view. So herein, how does Krishna see that someone is successful? Developing a genuine taste in hearing and chanting the holy names of Krishna, becoming a sincere and genuine sadhaka. Now, how many times do we focus on this definition of success? How many times? Yes, of course, we read about it, we speak about it in lectures, the philosophy and all that stuff. But when it comes to, you know, marking someone's success, how many times do we really compliment someone that, you know, his chanting has improved, so therefore we want to thank him by a gift. Everyone chant 3 times Hari Bol. Why? Because nowadays he is chanting more intensely. But yes, somebody who has distributed the maximum number of books in marathon, somebody who has accomplished so much for the mission, and the missionary accomplishments are very much obviously rewarded. So over here, yes, definitely they should be rewarded, and they are something which are worth recognized. But what Krishna recognizes is something which is totally different from what we think is real success. I remember last year I was attending Shivaram Maharaj's Vyas Puja. If you know Shivaram Maharaj, he is a very, very successful leader, sannyasi in ISKCON, who has a wonderful community in Hungary, very, you know, scholarly person. He, you know, that particular, those slides which we see every kirtan, those DTs are of Hungary, Shivaram Maharaj, who is the GBC over there. So it was his Vyas Puja, and great stalwart sannyasis like Indradumna Maharaj, Bhaktibhringa Govinda Maharaj, and you know, Chandramouli Maharaj and other sannyasis, they were gracing the occasion. And there is one old Mataji, disciple of Prabhupada. Her name is Kulangana Mataji. She makes sweets every day for Radha Gokulananda at Manor, Bhaktivinanda Manor, London. So now she is really like 80 years old, and you know, she is not like a big preacher or a kirtan singer. She just makes every day some sweets. So it was her birthday also. The same day as Shivaram Maharaj's birthday, it was her birthday also, and she had also come. But she had come just to participate in Shivaram Maharaj's Vyas Puja. Nobody else knew. Only Shivaram Maharaj knew that it's her birthday also. So now the Vyas Puja address, now the whole disciple community is sitting. All these god brothers, senior god brothers are sitting. Shivaram Maharaj takes the mic and he starts to give the Vyas Puja address, and he says, he's, you know, looking at Bhaktibhringa Govind Maharaj and Indradumna Maharaj, and he's saying that when we go back to Godhead, if in case we go. So he's saying, if in case we go back to Godhead, and what are we going to show to Krishna? What did we do when we were here? What are we going to show to Krishna? Am I going to show my books? Because Shivaram Maharaj has written wonderful books. So am I going to show my books to Krishna, or am I going to show how many temples I opened, or how many thousands of people I preached to, how many disciples did I have, and how much Vyas Puja did they celebrate of mine? And am I going to show all of that and tell all of that to Krishna? And do you think even if I say all that, Krishna is going to pay attention to that? What is Krishna going to pay attention to in the spiritual world? What does he pay more attention to? To the sweets. To the sweets, because milk sweets is something which Krishna relishes in Vrindavan Dham. And who is that devotee in this assembly who makes that offering every day to Krishna? It is this Kulangana Mataji. And it happens to be her birthday also. Although she is a very simple woman, old, 80 years old, nobody has heard any lectures given by her, no kirtans sung by her, no albums have come out of Kulangana Mataji, of her kirtan and lectures, no CDs like that. But when she goes to the spiritual world, then Krishna is going to pay more attention, as I'll be showing my books, he said that, as I'll be showing my books and my reports of my preaching in Hungary and all these places worldwide, what do you think, where Krishna will be looking at? What is on the plate of Kulangana Mataji? So, he was making the point that success in bhakti, we have a certain perception of success, and Krishna, he has a certain perception of success. So therefore Prabhupada said, what is Krishna consciousness? To see this world through the eyes of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. A wonderful definition Prabhupada gave. Which means even our struggling sadhana bhakti, we have to see through the eyes of Krishna, that what Krishna is expecting that we should be successful in the sadhana bhakti. Now, our next point, the negative barriers blocking us from celebrating others' success. So before I begin, let me know from the assembled Vaishnavas, what do you think, that what are some, you know, common barriers which block us from trying to celebrate others' success? Okay, many hands are coming up. Okay, envy, jealousy, ego, false ego. Anything else? Inferiority complex. Anything else? We feel inferior in front of a successful Vaishnava. That's what? Okay. Bodily concept of life. Let's see how it begins. So herein we have a sequence through which things happen. Because of lack of spiritual knowledge, we have a self-conscious mentality. Then constant comparisons, because of that, we find emotional insecurity, which leads to then jealousy. And then inability to be grateful, to be amongst successful Vaishnavas. It's a fortune. Initially, when we see Vaishnavas very much successful, we thank Krishna that I am been put in such an association wherein Vaishnavas are so successful. But then, when we reach a certain level of advancement in Krishna consciousness and we are just, you know, the successful plateau is there, we can reach it, but we have not yet reached. So then, many times, we start comparing. We feel insecure. If I don't reach that pedestal of success, then where will I land in the Vaishnava community? So sense of insecurity, then there is comparisons, jealousy, and we are not grateful for what we have been given. Rather, we keep looking into others' plate. What is that? Dusre ki thali mein laddu bada bhi dikhta hai, jyada bhi dikhte hai. So all that then begins. So this is the sequence, that because of lack of proper spiritual knowledge, because of lack of properly understanding the Siddhant of Krishna consciousness, we get into again the self-conscious mentality. Now, we are not in the mentality that I want to enjoy the body, but I want to enjoy the fruits of bhakti. Yes, we have maybe crossed that particular level that I want to enjoy the sense gratification, but we have again fallen into the pool of enjoying the subtle sense gratification of pratishtha, the subtle sense gratification of naam, some position, designation, all of that stuff. So therefore, this is the sequence, that we start comparing, self-conscious mentality, jealousy, inability to be, then being grateful for whatever we have been given. I'll tell you a nice story from the Sri Sampradaya. It's something which is very touching and revolutionary again, that how Vaishnavas, they perceive what is the success in spiritual life. This is a disciple of Ramanujacharya. His name was Kuresh. You must have heard also about Kuresh, his sacrifice. He sacrificed his vision to help his spiritual master. So Kuresh this gentleman, this Vaishnava, he was a landowner south of India. He was a landowner, a big landowner of the province called Kura, and therefore his name was Kuresh, the Ishwar of Kura province. He got that name Kuresh. And this is, we are talking about Kanchipur, Kanchipuram, wherein the deity, famous deity of Vardaraj, is there. So one day it so happens that the deity of Lakshmi Devi, along with Lord Vishnu, the deity of Lakshmi Devi is asking Vardaraj that what is this sound which I hear every day? I hear a sound of closing of the gate at sunset, and you know, huge sound, some gates are getting closed. And sunrise, I hear the sound of gates opening. So what is this sound which I hear every day? So Vardaraj tells to Lakshmi Devi that those are the gates of the huge mansion of Kuresh. So sunrise he opens the gates for everyone to come and have anything and everything from his wealth and opulence. He is such a charitable person that he keeps from sunrise to sunset, he keeps giving in charity to everyone and anyone without even seeing their qualification or how much are they taking from him. He is such a charitable person. So when Lakshmi Devi, when she hears that every day sunrise to sunset he simply gives charity, I definitely want to meet with this wonderful person. So then the message is conveyed from the pujari to Kuresh that Lakshmi Devi wants to meet with Kuresh. Original Lakshmi Devi wants to meet with Kuresh. Now, how would you know, gauge this or your yardstick that? Is it successful? What if, you know, we get this particular message that Radharani wants to see someone? So how would we feel? Definitely we'll SMS, you know, we have that SMS system. We'll SMS to everyone. So Radharani has, I'll not be coming for the program because Radharani is wanting to, you know, see me. And maybe, you know, we'll try to seek, go to others and seek blessings. Please give blessings. Why? I'm going to Radharani too. When Kuresh, when he found out that Lakshmi Devi wants to see him, he went to his wife, Kuresh's wife. His name, her name was Andal. So he tells to Andal, it's a shame on me. It's a shame on me. Those were the words. That Lakshmi Devi wants to see me. For what reason? Because I'm a charitable person. It's shame on me. Dhikkar hai mujhe mere upar ki Lakshmi Devi us karan ki wajah se mujhe dekhna chahti. I thought that Lakshmi Devi would one day see me because I'm trying to serve. I'm trying to become, you know, a sincere devotee. But this mundane, you know, quality which I have, that I'm a charitable person, that Lakshmi Devi wants to see me. Tomorrow itself, we are leaving this place. Giving up everything. From a wealthy landowner, the next day he was a beggar on the street, he and his wife. Left. Didn't go to meet Lakshmi Devi. He left Kanchipuram. Went to Srirangam as a beggar. And on the way, he asked his wife, are you carrying anything with you? Now, imagine, you know, a wife, one day before, she was wife of a big landowner. And then, next day, she's, you know, definitely there is no future of going back if you have a husband like that. So there is, materially speaking, no security left anymore for the wife. So she was carrying a golden bowl. And he could sense that she's carrying something. So he is asking Andal that, are you carrying anything valuable? So she, now she is such a great devotee also. She said, yes, I am carrying this golden bowl so that whatever alms we get in begging, at least I can serve you in a golden bowl. Come on, you were a landowner. So he said, throw that also. Give that to someone. I don't want to be recognized as a person who is charitable in the mundane sense. I want to become a beggar in the eyes of Lakshmi Devi and Lord Vishnu, Lakshmi Narayan. So like that, he then starts living, in a small hut in Srirangam, which Ramanujacharya provides for him. And he doesn't even ask for anything. Whatever comes naturally for his subsistence, he just lives on that. And one day, when the Rajbhog offerings were made in the Srirangam temple of Ranganathji, the bells were ringing, which was significant that the bhoga is being offered. The Rajbhog Aarti is now begun. So that time Andal, the wife, she sees that her husband is practically now not eaten for weeks and months, and he has become so weak and so lean and thin, and she is just praying to Ranganath that please, your devotee has sacrificed so much for you. And Ranganath himself, he sends the Rajbhog plate offering to our Kuresh. And when Kuresh sees that all of a sudden this one day this Rajbhog offering has come to me, Kuresh is asking Andal, did you think in your mind that I am hungry? Because how come the Lord has sent? You must have thought something like that. Now can you imagine? It's very scary to marry a husband like that, who is on such a high platform, that you can't even think something like that. Forget about doing something. So she said, yes, I thought something like that. So now you have to eat. So the entire offering was given to the wife to eat. So because it was the order, so she ate. And it so happened that she bore twins in her womb because of the Mahaprasad which she ate of Ranganath. And those twins were born as Vyasa Tirtha and Parashar Tirtha. And those were the great scholars who were the sons of Kuresh. In fact, in literal sense, they were the Mahaprasad of Ranganathji, who were born to Kuresh. And Ranganathji wanted that these twins should be born of this devotee couple, Andal and Kuresh. So herein, it's another revolutionary concept that, from a wealthy landowner, beggar on the street. But what Ranganath saw, the real success, was the success of so much of sacrifice, selflessness and renunciation. That was what was seen. So again, when we talk about the emotions which come, which really churn our heart, first we will see that what are the emotions which come in our heart when we see others struggling in their sadhana. Now, this is very common, is it not? More than so much success, we see most of the Vaishnavas struggling in their sadhana. And many times failing also, not coming up to the standards of sadhana bhakti. So what are the emotions which come into our heart? One general emotion is feeling superior. Feeling of superiority over the failed candidate that couldn't make it. Poor fellow couldn't make it. It's not that it's very prominent, but it's there. That at least, come on, I'm not like, fallen like that. I have that particular recognition in the devotee community of a person who has been very strictly following the sadhana bhakti. Then there is the mood of sympathy and sense of pitifulness. That yes, that person is struggling, so therefore I should sympathize with the failure and the struggle of that particular Vaishnava. And many times we feel pity also. And then it culminates, if it's not in the right mood, it culminates into false compassion, which is driven by false ego. And many times, if we are not on the pure platform, then these emotions, they appear to be Krishna conscious emotions, sympathizing for the other struggling sadhaka. But as it is mentioned over here, we have to understand, if we properly decipher it, the root cause is again my false ego. It is driven by that false ego, and the compassion and the so-called sympathy is all just a fake, phony thing. So now, this is what is more difficult, to have a certain emotions which is healthy for my Krishna consciousness when I see the other Vaishnavas successful in their sadhana bhakti, in their Krishna consciousness. So let us see what are the emotions churned in this particular scenario. I could do better than him, but was not given a chance. If I was given a chance, I would have distributed more books at that place. I would have given a better lecture for that particular whatever Gita course, you know, I could have given a better lecture. And that kirtan, that particular melody which he sang, you know, if only people would have listened to my, the way, the kind of style which I have for that particular melody which, you know, I sing in that kirtan. And another emotion is, he needs to be protected. You know, because he is becoming so successful, and because of all that success, what will happen? As the philosophy says, that he will become falsely proud. So because he will become falsely proud, so it's my duty to humble him down. And I'm doing it as a Vaishnav Seva. It's a Vaishnav Seva. I'm really concerned about that particular Vaishnav, because, you know, if you become successful, then, you know, false pride, and because of false pride, there will be Vaishnava Prad, and then Vaishnava Prad means he will fall down. So just to make sure that he doesn't fall down, I'll do something. So many times, these are the kinds of emotions which begin us in trying to look into. So therefore, in this now, we have to find out and smell the traces of envy within. Because the very fact that we are in this material world, as Prabhupada said, that we have some sort of envy for the Supreme Lord and anything in connection with the Supreme Lord. So how to smell the traces of envy? Beginning with no joy seeing others' progress, crab mentality. What is crab mentality? Pulling the other crabs down. One crab tries to come out of whatever, some barrel where they are kept, the other crabs pull the crabs down. So that crab mentality, and feeling insecure seeing others' success. And this is something which is a very, very prominent emotion which comes, that a sense of insecurity that I am losing my grounds in the Vaishnava community. So that is very much pertinent for one to understand, that what is this insecurity, or who is insecure when is in that particular mentality. Now if these things are coming into our heart, then we should understand that we are having a sense of insecurity. One who wants to do all by himself, wants to take the credit, then there is a fear of losing popularity. If these emotions are coming, fear of seeing juniors excel, and then finally acts to put the others down. If these emotions are there, then we are feeling insecure in our Krishna consciousness. Which means, where are we looking for security? We are looking for security in pratishtha. We are looking for security in, you know, our praise and that so-called success, being skillful devotee. We are looking for security in all of that. So, over here, when we are trying to work in a mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to become proper leaders or missionaries. So, a person who is insecure, he is always in the mood of taking and not giving. And we have the example of Kamsa and Shukracharya. Now, Shukracharya's example, when Bali Maharaj gave away that promise, that three steps to Vamandev, and Shukracharya knew that he is Vishnu and he is going to take away everything. So, Shukracharya's insecurity was that if Bali Maharaj gives away everything, then who will maintain me? Who will pay me? How about my salary and my maintenance and all that stuff? So he was not so much concerned about Bali Maharaj, he was concerned about his own security. And that is again a mundane platform. Kamsa, that Akashvani, till that point of time he was expressing his security towards the sister Devaki. But when that Akashvani said that the eighth child of your sister is going to kill you, immediately all of that so-called security which was being expressed went down the drain. And now Kamsa was ready to kill his own sister. So that is, over here, one might say that, you know, come on, I don't have Kamsa mentality, I don't have Shukracharya mentality. But if there is that sense of insecurity which is on a mundane platform, there is element of Shukracharya, there is element of Kamsa. The little baby is just about to take birth. Which baby? The baby Shukracharya, baby Kamsa. So therefore, before that baby comes out of the womb of our emotions, we have to abort that baby. That abortion we have to perform. So, that insecurity we have to come out of. Herein, on another elementary platform, first child feels insecure when the second is born. And many families, you know, this particular thing, the siblings, they feel, you know, that the child is already, say, 2-3 years old, and the second child is born, and the elder one sees that all attention is given to the younger one, and you know, what happened to me? Where are my photos now in the album? The album is filled with his photos now. So now, how do we relate it with our Vaishnava community? That somebody who has just come to the fold of Krishna consciousness and he's been given more attention, then many times we feel that what happened to me? Why all the Mahaprasad is going to him? All the garlands going to him? All the attention going to him? There was a day when I walked into the temple, I was being welcomed by three Haribols and so many, you know, grandeur, but where is all of that gone? So it's the same. We have to understand, many times forget about that. When that, you know, junior Vaishnav, he excels us, then the kind of emotions, which negative emotions which are churned inside, that really, you know, it's like acid effect inside. Acid. We have the acid effect inside. So this is through which we can understand that how we have to come out of that. Another non-shastric example is of this person who had built this monument for his beloved Shahjahan, who built this monument, Taj Mahal. But what did he do after that? He felt so much insecure that those artisans, they should not build another Taj Mahal in future, because I want to be the only one having that particular recognition of building this monument, Ajuba, one of the one of the eight wonders of the world. And what did he do? He chopped off the arms of more than 20,000 of these artisans. Can you imagine how much insecurity this person had, that you know he could do such a ghastly, brutal act of chopping off the arms of 20,000 of those people who made this for him? This is the height of a person who is insecure in trying to see the success of someone. So therefore, essentially when it comes to the emotions which are being churned within us, principal emotions are these three: competitive nature, insecurity, and envy. Now, in conclusion, how to cope up with these negative emotions which come within our mind when we see others very much successful? To begin with, rather than competing, we have to come in the mood of complimenting. So from competing, we have to come to the mood of complimenting. So let's see what is the difference which we can mark out: a person who is in the mood of competition and a person who is in the mood of complimenting. In the mood of competition, it's always me first. And in the mood of complimenting, it's the team. So in a Vaishnav society, we are a team, just like Lord Ram's army of monkeys. It was a team of, it was a teamwork, and they all were regarded by Lord Ram as being successful, because whatever they contributed, even if it was a grain of sand to build that bridge, they were also recognized. So it was a team effort. So therefore, when we are complimenting each other in that particular mood, we are taking the entire team together. In the mood of competition, the trust is destroyed, because if the other person is competing with you, how can you trust that person? But when we are in the mood of complimenting each other, then it builds the trust. We can trust the Vaishnavas that yes, they will be there always, even though I fail or I succeed. Now herein is this particular mentality. In competition is, I win, you lose. I win, you lose. One time, Radhanath Maharaj in one of his talks, he said that in this material world, it was a cricket match going on, just like this IPL thing which is going on. So, you know, that kind of a scenario was there. So, you know, some team won. Either it was Pakistan or India, some team won. So it was like jubilation, this particular team has won. And his observation to that was, he said that one team wins, and for that one team to win, so many teams have to lose. This is the nature of the material world. And what is the nature of the spiritual world? We all win. That's called win. Win situation. In this material world, you have to lose because I have to win. And if I have to win, you have to lose. You cannot be a winner unless you have someone to lose against you. That's the material world. That's the material consciousness. But the spiritual consciousness, that we all win in the name of Krishna. So the competing mentality is that it's single thinking. Again, it brings one into that single thinking of I, me and mine. Whereas when we are in the mood of complimenting, the thought process is shared thinking, that yes, we share the success to others. So therefore, herein, when we are trying to cope up with these negative emotions of others' success, we have to understand, am I following the Duryodhan principle? Or am I following the Kunti principle? Now, what is the difference between Duryodhan and Kunti principle? Can anyone guess what are we up to here? Duryodhan and Kunti principle. Of course, Duryodhan principle is very easy to explain. Competition. Kunti principle is when Arjun won Draupadi, that famous story, Swayambhar, and Arjun wins Draupadi. So it was Arjun who shot the eye of that fish, and it was Arjun who actually won Draupadi. But when he brings Draupadi, he tells to Kunti along with others that today we have a very special booty which we have got in our begging. And what does Kunti, without even looking back, she says, divide it. Divide it amongst the five of you. Divide. You know, this is not a roti, or this is not something, you know, you can divide like that, you know. And how would Draupadi feel that she has to be divided amongst five husbands? But the Kunti principle over here is, Kunti said that my principle for you five sons was that whatever you accomplish, whether it's your failure, you divide that amongst five of you. Whether it's your success, yes, Arjun has won Draupadi, but Arjun cannot be the sole proprietor of that success, because he has not won it independently. He has won it because he is the brother of Yudhishthir, he is the brother of Bhima, because he is the brother of all the others, because he is the son of me. And all of you have to follow the same principle of what we see, share your care. Which means the success in Krishna consciousness has to be shared equally. That is what over here we are trying to come up to when trying to understand the Duryodhan principle as against the Kunti principle. So who is secure now? From being insecure, next is who is secure? One who is not independent, one who is not dependent, but one who is interdependent. Having team spirit, in the mood of detachment, that I am not the sole proprietor of the success, I am not the instrument because of which the success was accomplished, but giving the credit to the Supreme Lord. And we have the Pandavas again, who always gave the credit of whatever they accomplished, they gave it to Krishna. That because of Krishna, that whatever we had, even Kunti Maharani, she. So we have some examples here of devotees who celebrated other success, like Uddhav when he went to Vrindavan, and when he met with the Brajabasi, especially the gopis, and he saw the level of their Krishna consciousness, Uddhavji was so much happy. It was not, now till that point of time in Dwarka, everyone knew that the supreme most associate of Krishna is Uddhav. And when he goes to Vrindavan, he sees that I am no one in front of these gopis. So what is his desire now? He wants to become a blade of grass. That's his only desire. Uddhavji, such a huge scholar, such a big devotee, wants to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Why? So that these exalted devotees, these gopis, can walk on him, can put their feet on him. And one time Radhanath Maharaj was speaking about Uddhav, and he said that Uddhav didn't want to become a very prominent blade of grass. He didn't want to become many blades of grass. He just wanted to become one Gulmalata, one blade of grass amongst many other blades of grass in Vrindavan. And not exactly in the center of Vrindavan, but somewhere outskirts of Vrindavan. And the only reason that the gopis should step on this particular personality as blade of grass. So how he celebrated their success. We have another beautiful example of Shukdev Goswami. The August assembly of who were hearing Shukdev Goswami. Now we read about Parikshit Maharaj hearing Shukdev Goswami, but it is mentioned that who else was sitting in the audience? It was Vyasadeva himself, you know, Atri Rishi, these great Vishwamitra Muni, Vasishtha Muni, then Narad Muni himself, these great souls, and so many, the list was so long. So all of these great souls, they're such senior scholars and devotees and speakers, they are sitting and listening to a 16-year-old. Shukdev Goswami is only 16-year-old over there. And they all recognize him and give him the garland and the Vyas Gaddi that you speak. So that is how these exalted personalities, they celebrated the success of the original Bhagavad Sapta of Shukdev Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. In the Chaitanya Leela, we have Mahaprakash Leela, wherein for 21 hours, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inviting the Vaishnavas to come and ask for benedictions. And the entire Mahaprakash Leela, these associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are coming. And what benedictions are they asking? Let that devotee receive your mercy. Let this brother of mine, let this father of that particular devotee, let all these devotees receive your mercy and blessings. So they were all pushing others to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not asking for their own success. So this is another example of how this success was celebrated by these exalted devotees. The take home message, the final tips. To begin with, we have to support the Vaishnava community, not suppress their ideas. We have to support their ideas, not suppress their ideas. We have to give away the credit and assist others and acknowledge their contribution. As Lord Ram, if Lord Ram can acknowledge the contribution of one grain of sand by that squirrel, how much more we have to acknowledge the contribution by any simple ordinary Vaishnava also. That is one of the take-home messages. Understand that great things can happen when you do not care who gets the credit. And the greatest things can happen only when you give others the credit. So if we really want to accomplish something great and greatest for Krishna, this is the principle of giving credit to others. And finally, understanding that Krishna's hand is there. Whoever is successful because Krishna's hand is there behind the success. So if we are not joyful into the success of others, then we are actually not joyful in Krishna's success. So finally, why should we celebrate other success? Other success is a cause of celebration as it reveals Krishna's most wonderful opulences through his devotee. So if a devotee is becoming very successful, we have to understand that it is Krishna who is manifesting his qualities through that devotee. And by celebrating that devotee's success, we are actually complimenting Krishna, acknowledging Krishna, his qualities. And that is the secret of our success in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions anyone has? Do we have any announcements?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Coming Wednesday, that is